Translation with the short purport by Srila Prabhupada. Thereafter, on the day of the Somapana, after the sacrifice was finished, Garuda, king of the birds, understanding the desire of his master, arrested Bali Maharaj with the ropes of Varuna. Purport. Garuda, the constant companion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, knows the confidential part of the Lord's desire. Bali Maharaj's tolerance and devotion were undoubtedly super excellent. Garuda arrested Bali Maharaj to show the entire universe the greatness of the king's tolerance. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Si Chaitanna Mano Pistam Stapidam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadandikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanna Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hari Ram, 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 Hari, Hari. Mukam karoti vachalam pangalam gayate girim yat kripa tamaham vande jiguru dinatarinam. Vanchakalpa tarupyascha kripa sindubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavibhyo namo nama. Thereafter, on the day of Somapana, after the sacrifice was finished, Garuda, king of the birds, understanding the desire of his master, arrested Bali Maharaj with the ropes of Varuna. So this is the wonderful pastime of how the Supreme Personality of Godhead disguised as little dwarf Brahman. He took away everything, absolutely everything, from the king of the 14 worlds. He actually conquered, Bali Maharaj conquered the Chatursloka, which is the 14 planetary systems, starting from the top, Brahmaloka, Satyaloka, going down to the Gandharvaloka, Janaloka. Then you have the Burloka, Buvarloka, the planet where we are living. And going down to all the Patala planets, down to the Patala Loka. So it was actually a great achievement from Bali Maharaj to defeat the king of the heavenly planets, King Indra, because of his sacrifices, and because he had a very clever spiritual master, Sukracharya. So Sukracharya, he was able to gain everything for Bali Maharaj, for the demons. But because they are not devotees of Krishna. They are not devotees of Vishnu, the demons. So therefore, the conquest doesn't last very long. You see, in this world also, demons, they appear to be very successful for some time. And then the devotees say, oh, but if he's so much evil, why God is empowering such a person to become powerful or to gain some control or position or abusing people? Or... But there is an end to actually to the control of the demons. Usually it doesn't last very long. Sometimes it lasts for some time, like Hiranyakashipu for 1,000 years he was meditating. But then, within a few years, when he achieved everything, within a few years he lost everything. Because the interest of Krishna is to have the demigods to control the power of this nature, the planetary system, the modes of nature. You can see they're controlled by demigods, not by demons. Otherwise, there would be a chaos. But here in this case, there is a very a strange phenomenon happening, that one of these demons, Bali Maharaj, it's actually a devotee of Krishna. And understanding the power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, immediately he adopted the Atma Nivedanam, the complete surrender. Because there is nothing else we could do if we're faced by a very powerful opponent, and especially the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is akunta medase. Nobody can defeat the intelligence of Krishna, and nobody can asama urdhva. The Acharya, they explain, nobody can be equal or greater than God. So it is actually a futile attempt to fight with God. It's just like a little child trying to pick up a fight with his father. Sometimes, you know, he kicks and the father doesn't even take seriously. And he allows him, you know, to kick him a little bit. But then, just by the holding him back with the hands, the child, you know, he can't do anything, and he gets even more angry. And so this is the nature of the false ego. We live in this balloon of greatness. We are actually very, very small, and we think we are great. Anu. Anu means the soul is Anu, very, very, very small. And we think that, and there is only one person who is great, and that's Krishna, Vibhu. We are Anu, and he is Vibhu. So if we understand this difference between us and God, then there is some chance that we can understand everything else. Who we are, what is the path to go back to God, what are we doing in this world, why we've been born like this. So first of all, we have to surrender with the hands up and say, okay, I'm nobody. I'm just a little spark that went away from the fire, and for some time, you know, I appeared to, you know, shine a little bit. Just like the little spark when it goes away from the fire, it goes very higher, appears to be even higher than the fire, and it makes a little bit of noise, pow, you know, like that. And the little spark thinks, you know, is greater than the fire. So this is has been the repeated pattern of mentality of those demons. trying to become greater than everybody else. Because at the end of the day, this is a toy house. The material world is actually a toy house. Everyone is playing with something. Some people, they play with building up buildings. Some they play, you know, gambling to make some money. Some they play with some study to get some prestige. Everybody is playing, you know, to manipulate the toys of this material world to have some control on this world. But at the end of the day, it's not really a serious place. It is a place for really for less intelligent, for children to come here and play, you know, the master. I am such and such. I am great. I am an engineer. I am this. I am that. So there are so many false identification that we put on, birth after birth, and goes on for millions of lives, until we wake up, you know, we hear the voice from the kitchen, come on, it's time for prasad, time for lunch, you know, the parents, they call the child, and he has to stop playing. But sometimes he's too busy playing, and he's not interested. He completely forgets he's got a father, the mother, he has to go to school, and he's got other duties. You know, the children, once they absorb in their activity of playing, then it's very difficult to remember the reality. And who are those parents? That's, you know, we have Krishna. The calling of Krishna. Krishna sometimes he sends in the toy room the big brother, who is the spiritual master or the devotee. Come on, it's time to come and eat. Mom and dad, they want you. And that's really simple. That's what devotees, they're meant to do. We're big brothers to the society. Big brothers, big sisters. We are waking up those children to the reality. So Bali Maharaj, he woke up from this situation. He understood that there was no chance to combat the strength of the Lord. Sabai Balam Balinam Chaparisham. He says, in the Prahlad Maharaj, he told Hiranyakashipu that the power that you are getting, it's from the same source where I get my power from. So there is no difference in terms of source. So Bali Maharaj also, he understood that the power that he got was ultimately from Vishnu. He was standing in front of him. Savai Balam, Balinam, Chaparisham. This Balam, Balinam, there is a source, Chaparisham, which means the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's where all, he is the one empowering the demigods. He was the one empowering Sukracharya, Brihaspati, Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, Indra. Everybody that has some power, then that power is actually coming from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's the reservoir, the catalyst resource, person, where all the different types of six opulence are coming from. And Bali Maharaj, he surrendered to this understanding and he gave everything. Of course, the Lord tricked him with his two short legs, little steps. One of them he covered the 14 worlds, as is described before, the 14 planetary systems, from Patala Loka to Brahma and Satya Loka, they were all taken by the first steps. And then the second step, he took the Brahma Jyoti and it went up, pierced the layer, the first layer of the spiritual world. That's where Lord Vishnu is residing. So it touched the Vaikuntha atmosphere, and that's where the Ganga is from. The Ganga was caused by the toe of Lord Vamanadeva, and in this way, the Lord, he was asking afterwards, now, you've lost everything, what are you going to give me? What else are you going to give? Where am I going to put the third step? You have nothing else to give. And so therefore you broke your promise. You are not a gentleman. People who break promise are considered to be liars. So the Lord, he called him so many, insulted him. And he tested him to the limit. It's not that he was pretending, you know, he's my devotee, so I'm going to play around with him. He was actually very serious. He was taking he was a Brahman, a spiritual master, and he said, you know, you promised me 3 steps of land, but you only gave me 2. So what are you going to do now? And Bali Maharaj was bewildered. He was perplexed. He couldn't understand, you know, what to do next. So first of all, he gave up his ego. He said, I will surrender to you completely. And the only thing left, it's just my head. I will bow my head down to your feet. And you just put your third step on my head. What an intelligent thing to do. Because really, the Lord, when he takes things away from us, he's not really interested in the material assets that we have. What he wants from us is the head. The thing that Bali Maharaj gave him at the end, that's the thing that he wants from everyone. So therefore, why don't we give it to him before he takes away everything? It's more intelligent to surrender to Krishna before we agitate him. And then, what did he say in the Bhagavad Gita? That I preserve what they have to my devotees, and I carry what they like. And Krishna doesn't lie. So, that means, you know, that even if you surrender to Krishna, you will not lose anything. Those who think that by giving there is a loss, they're very unfortunate. Because the nature of the soul is actually to give, whereas the nature of the mind is to take. Dusparena nalinacha. The mind, no matter how many things we want, we take every day, then is never satisfied. Dusparena nalinacha. Krishna says it's like pouring fuel on the fire. The mind, the senses, they're on fire all the time. And whatever we put in this fire, it's burned up. Is consumed very quickly. That's the nature of sense gratification. There is never a point that you say, oh, I'm satisfied. Actually, people, if you get accustomed to eating, then the stomach gets large, then you won't eat more, the appetite gets large, then more you eat and more you want to eat. People who are accustomed to sensual life, more they indulge in sexual activity, and more they want to do it. And that's how you get people who are addicted to sensual life. Even so much so that they're not any more satisfied with the opposite sex, then they have to become pedophile. They did research how the pedophile's mind it comes about. It's from unsatisfied desire. You know, that people by indulging in something, they reach a stage of madness. Then they try anything and everything, you know, to satisfy their senses. And if you want some wealth, more wealth you have and more you want it tomorrow. If you want some fame, you get a little bit today and then it becomes very addictive. Then you want more tomorrow, then some more. And then if you have some beauty, then you will do anything and everything, you know, to protect and cure your beauty, to maintain it. You have the celebrities, you know, they spend so much money on just preserving, you know, the skin on the face. Make sure, you know, that no wrinkles will come. So it's because you will never find someone who says, okay, I'm satisfied and happy for what I have in terms of materialist people. There are some people who are in peace with themselves, and wherever the providence gives to them, you know, I meet many of those people on Sankirtan, and they are happy for what they have. They live a very simple life, you know, they are decent people, and those are the best candidate for spiritual life, because they've understood that more you want, more you get, more you want, and more you want, and there is no end. So Bali Maharaj, he lost everything. And he says that he lost his intelligence at some point, you know, his bodily luster. Of course, material intelligence. The bodily luster is the... Because when you become famous, wealthy, you know, people, they become somebody. Somehow or another, there is some energy in them. But when the fear of loss... I met Jai Shishi Radha Gokulananda Kija. I met a family once, a businessman, that he, within a week, he lost £3 million. And he couldn't even dress himself properly. There are, when people, they are in the phase of losing things, they neglect themselves, you know, because depression comes, fear comes, insecurity. What am I going to do now? How do I maintain my family? The strength goes away. The intelligence goes away. I don't know if you ever met, you know, someone who has lost something. Even when people, they're very powerful, even politicians, they lose their wives or their kids, they become sometimes very powerless. So losing something, when Krishna takes away something, along with the loss of that material thing, there is also energy from the body that leaves that person. So that's why one has to be prepared at every step, not become too attached, you know, on what we have. Like, I always think, when I came to UK, I had nothing. I didn't have anything, actually. I had no wife, no kids. I didn't have a house. I had no money. I had about £200-300 with me, and a very nice trousers, which was stolen in Soho Street. They gave me a dhoti, and I was not surprised. But, you know, there is a say, actually later on, it says here, that when Krishna wants especially favor someone, then he takes away everything. When he likes you, he gives you so much. But when he loves you, he takes away everything. It's something interesting, yeah. Anyway, I read it yesterday in one of the purports, but it says that he takes away everything. So he loved Vamana. But what did he gain? Did he really lose everything? Bali Maharaj? By surrendering to the Lord, I was just reflecting in retrospect. Okay, we may surrender all the material things that we have, but what do we achieve? Do we achieve something by giving everything to Krishna? Of course, we achieve more than what we lose, and also spiritually, we become, in one sense, greater than God. I mean, I know it's a sacrilege to say such a thing. How can you become greater than God? Yes, there is a Bhakti Vatsala means that Krishna becomes the servant of his devotee. And it happened, because Bali Maharaj apparently lost everything, and Indra, who is a sense enjoyer, he didn't really have the Atmanivedanam spirit like Bali Maharaj to surrender everything to Vishnu. He didn't say, okay, you got everything back for me, now I'll give it to you, and I want to surrender to you, and I want to become your devotee, and I want to go back. No. Indra, he was addicted to sense gratification. This is the nature of the demigods. They want enjoy, that's why they are demigods. But Bali Maharaj, because he surrendered completely to the Lord, everything, so he gained a planet. The Lord gave him Sutala, which is a beautiful planet where people, the inhabitants of these planets are more beautiful than the heavenly planets. More beautiful, they sing more beautifully than the Gandharva, the Apsaras. They're more strong than the powerful demigods of the heavenly planets. And there's much more opulence than the planets where Indra reside and Lord Brahma reside. It's, in other words, you know, like a spiritual planet. And not only that, not only got that planet, what else did he get? Does anybody know what did he get? Exactly. He got actually the service of Vishnu. That Krishna, that's what happened. When we surrender to Krishna, Krishna surrenders to us. But his surrender, it's greater than our surrender. Vamanadeva became the gatekeeper of Bali Maharaj. But not just for one day or 2 days, 3 days. He was actually enjoying on that planet for 1,000 years. Now, can you imagine 1,000 years? We see our lives, how much is it? 800 months, 900 months? It's 100 years, but 80 years, 70 years, very short span of time. But 1,000 celestial years, it's a long, 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 long time. And the Lord committed himself day and night to be the gatekeeper of Bali Maharaj. Now, what interest the Lord he has to do that? What impels the Lord to do such a thing? It's very boring. Can you imagine? Kuveri, even a Kuveri, you know, 3 hours, then he disappears. He has to go and have his lunch. Nighttime, you know, he has to go and sleep. He's not going to stand, you know, to the gate of the manor for 24 hours a day. And he has to have some maintenance. But Vamanadev, he gave himself totally to become the servant of his devotee. So this is the power of God. By giving a little something to him, how much you get back? So there is no loss. That's how grateful is Krishna. It is not that, is like a sponge. Whatever worship you give him, whatever gift you give him, he absorbs it and he doesn't release anything. He doesn't reciprocate. Actually, everything we have, it's because of the little prayer, the little service that we perform to the Lord. So he gives us so much. And above all, gives us the buddhi yogam tam, the intelligence to come to him. So that's why amongst all the devotees of Krishna, there's one person that the Lord is incapable to reciprocate and to repay for the service and for the surrender. And who is that person? Top devotee. Yeah, Srimati Radharani. And it's so rewarding to actually show a little bit of giving nature to Krishna. But there is something bigger than that. So we'll talk in the next 2-3 minutes. Serving Krishna, giving things to Krishna is good, and he gives himself to us. But there is something even higher. It's when we serve his devotees. Or even higher than that is a serving the conditioned souls. It's higher to serve Krishna. It's next is higher to serve the devotees. And then it's very high to serve the conditioned souls. Those, the children who are lost and in this world. Because that's the thing that Krishna is desiring the most, to see everyone coming back to him. Okay, serving the devotees, that's good. Like, you know, Lord Chaitanya, he gives this motto. What is it? Chanting Hare Krishna. That's the worship of Krishna. Then the Vaishnava Seva, the serving, service to the devotees. And then Jiva Doya, which is very, he spent most of his time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, most of his time on this planet engaging in this Jiva Doya activity, which was delivering the conditioned souls from the cycle of birth and death. So that's why preaching is always the most glorious activity. When you give Krishna to someone who doesn't have Krishna, it's higher than actually serving a Vaishnava in one sense. If the mercy of serving Krishna, the mercy that we get from the Vaishnavas, doesn't culminate into the giving out the mercy to the conditioned souls, then we're missing the point. Then we think that joining the temple that's the best we could do, doing some service, serving the devotees, and that's it. But actually, there is some preaching to do. And that's what Prabhupada came to the West to do. This Jiva Doya, it's actually more important even than building temples, even more than deity worship. Because the benefit, the things that we give to Krishna, it's the worship that we give to Krishna is not to benefit him. It's actually for our own purification. The benefit that we derive from worshipping Krishna, it comes in the form of purification. It is not that Krishna is enjoying our worship. Because he is Atmaram Jamuna Yo. Even Lord Chaitanya, he says, someone who understands this, that God is, that this was the very first understanding of Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya. Atmarama Jamuna Yo. That God is actually doesn't need anything. He's already self-satisfied and already very peaceful. Atmarama Jamuna Yo. So if he's Atmarama Jamuna Yo, why why we offer him a sacrifice and worship, and it's for our own purification. That's the answer. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, what did he say? Building temples, performing yajna. You know, none of these things can be compared to the mood of Jivadoya. That's why he said something very outrageous. Actually, not Acharya has ever said anything, such a thing before. The statement that he made, to his disciples. He said, if there is a need, strip down the marble from the wall of the temple and sell it and print books. Right? So that means that the preaching or Jivadoya has more value than building a temple. Of course, we're building a very big temple in Mayapur. Srila Prabhupada wants such a temple. The Acharya, they wanted it. Bhaktivinoda Thakur envisioned. It's for the devotees to go there. It's actually an expression of the book, Srimad Bhagavatam. The temple of the Vedic planetarium, it's actually an expression of the first canto. So it represents a book. A temple, when we build a temple, it should be like a book. In other words, you have to have a classes in the temple to preach about the book. You have to have a Vaishnav behaving according to the book. You have to have pujaris worshipping Krishna according to the teachings of the book. We preach according to the book. So everything we do, it's from those books. So therefore, if you lose the books in every religion, if you lose the books, let's say in Christianity you lose the Bible, then everything will collapse, is doomed to collapse. Because people, they will follow very blindly. They don't know what to do. The teachings of God are not available anymore. So therefore, and we have seen it before, churches, they will be destroyed. Everything will collapse. Congregations, manpower, money. But if you destroy everything, temples, and if you have absence of manpower, if you have no money, if you have nothing except one Bible, then that book, it will build up everything again. It will build up all the churches. It will generate manpower. So similarly, in Krishna consciousness, it's the same. Prabhupada, he didn't have anything. He didn't have any temple. When he came to the West, he didn't have any manpower, no money, there was nothing. No fame, no religion, there was no institution. But what did he have with him? Just few books. And you could see from those few books, so much became manifested. Followers, money, manpower, temples. So if we understand that these books actually bring the message of Jivadoya, you know, mercy to the conditioned souls. It's actually from these books and from the holy name, of course. Otherwise, we will have a blind society. And even if we are not fully qualified, we don't have to be like Srila Prabhupada to go out, distribute a few books, and, oh, I'm neophyte, nothing will happen because I'm, you know, not powerful and pure. And we don't have to worry because we just, the power, the magic is in the books. It's not with us. Of course, Krishna will empower the devotee to carry the book, gives him enough intelligence to distribute those books. And that's how we make devotees. A neophyte devotee, he can make a mathematical devotee and a very intelligent person devotee. I personally am not very intelligent, but I met some devotees who are more intelligent than me, who have joined, and they're actually more competent than I am. So that means it works. What do they say? In the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is a king. So even if we are, if you have one eye and not two eyes, even if you are not a pure devotee, still you are a king, you know, for the conditioned souls. You go out and you are nobody, just bhakta such and such, or such and such das. Just take few books with you, a little bit of mercy from Srila Prabhupada, and you are a king for the conditioned souls. Don't worry about that you are not a pure devotee. Actually, if you're doing that, then you are situated on the very, very high, on the highest platform of pure devotional service. Jivan Mukta Sauchate. Even though you are not yet liberated, but because you're doing something which is very, very pure, you're considered to be liberated in the eyes of the Acharya and the eyes of Krishna. So, Bali Maharaj surrendered. So we should try to surrender also a little bit of our false ego, independence to Krishna, even if we cannot surrender completely. But you will see how Krishna will reciprocate. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Is there any questions or answer? Any comments?